You know, you can't hardly talk about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ without talking about where it all led to, where it all was consummated at. And you know, I think that there was a long shadow all the way from the manger in Bethlehem to the cross of Calvary, where Christ walked and completed and fulfilled every jot and every tittle of the law of God. And then he went to the cross and he died for us. He died for every one of us. And then he arose again to justify us before God. There is no way today that we can ever thank him enough for that gift. It's good to be here today. I'm not going to stand here today and tell you how many more days it is until Christmas, because that usually puts people in a panic mode. And that's the least thing that we want to do today. But, you know, it seems like as it gets closer and closer, things kind of speed up a little bit. But I hope for you today that it will become more meaningful and more meaningful and more meaningful, just like they anticipated in the scriptures, the coming of the Messiah. The closer that it got, I think the signs pointed towards him coming. If you have your Bible with you, we ask that you would turn with us to the 103rd Psalm, Psalm 103. And we're going to begin reading lesson today with the first verse. If you have your Bible with you, we invite you to read along with us as we look at this morning. Psalm 103, the Psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfy thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. And the Lord is merciful and gracious and slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. For he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, and think about that for just a moment. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. And like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, and he remembereth that we are but just dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto his children's children. If correctly read, this includes the first down through the 17th verses of Psalm 103. And our thoughts and our scripture that we'll probably referred to, if God leads us and directs us in this service today, will be not only this 103rd Psalm, but also something that is found and repeated in 1 Timothy in the first chapter, 2 Timothy in the first chapter. And you don't have to look this up because they're all the same. And also in Titus 1, verse 4. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Many times whenever that we greet one another, it's like, how are you doing? How's the family? What's going on? Have you bought your Christmas presents yet? You don't have to raise your hand on that. But any kind of greeting like that, we're used to. But this kind of greeting has a message to it from the Apostle Paul. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, when we think about this time of the year, there's one part of it that we think of out of the second chapter of the book of Matthew. And that's where the kings that came from the east presented unto him gold and frankincense and myrrh. And we're not going to get into all of that at this time. But they were the kings. They were the ones that Psalm 69 of verse 29 says that the kings of the earth will bring their presents unto him. You know, I always wondered why that God chose these kings. Why that he chose these men and moved on their hearts, and how that they realized that there had been something miraculous, something tremendous that had taken place, and they were guided by a star. That's the only navigation that they had. But they came, the kings, if you will, the most powerful nation in that day and in that time, they came from that kingdom. And they presented those three kings, those types of gifts that were for a king who had been born. And I want to leave this for you today, that God did kind of a gift exchange in all of that. And that's where the grace, that's where the mercy, and that's where the peace cometh in. Grace is defined and always referred to as that that is undeserved unto us. You know, when you look into the original writing of that word, it's not found very many places in any other writings. Grace. Because the heathen world had no idea of anything about grace, mercy, and peace. But grace is the unmerited, undeserved favor of God towards you and I today. The Bible tells us over in the book of the Ephesian letter, it says, for by grace, by this undeserved favor, unearned, unpurchased, nothing we could have done to deserve it today. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the, and notice he says, the gift of God, the exchange gift, the gift of God to everyone that believeth. Grace cannot be measured today. How can you put something of God like that on a scale and say, there's so much of it here? It's as bountiful today as God is bountiful. It's as eternal today as God is eternal. It's as everlasting today as God is everlasting. Because it comes from God. Now, how he created it, I have no idea. But I believe today when you read the 103rd Psalm and you look into that and it talks about the favor of God, what He does with our transgressions and our sins, and my friend, all of the penalty that was upon it. It says that it removed them as far as the east is from the west. He covered our sins. The Hebrew word, now I'm not going to give Hebrew and Greek lessons today, but the Hebrew in that talks about it as being God covers. In other words, He atones for it. Another word for it today is He lifts it up. He takes it away. And then He removes it. And where does it go? If you can find where east and west meet, there's where it's at. And I doubt if any of us can. But grace does not end, my friend, whenever that we are saved by His grace. And it's real today. Salvation is of the Lord, Jonah said in one place. It's real. It's something you can feel and experience in your heart today. But it doesn't just end there. Grace follows us every day of the week. Every moment, every second, every millisecond, if you will. Grace is bestowed upon us. Paul, whenever that he besought God to remove the thorn in his flesh, he had prayed three times for it, asking God to remove it. And in 2 Corinthians, it says the answer from God came one day. He said, Paul, and he says it to us today, my grace is sufficient unto thee. Did you hear what he said to the Apostle Paul? What he says to us today? How that follows our salvation? My grace today is sufficient for thee. Because why? My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most likely, I will glory in my weaknesses that the power of Christ might rest upon me. God takes over whenever that we surrender it to Him. God works a miracle for us whenever that we keep striving. I know, I don't know about anyone else, but I know for me, when I get to the end of the rope and get to the end of my own devices, it's then that God moves in and He said, watch what I can do. Look at what I can do for you today. That's part of that grace. That's part of that undeserved favor. Do we deserve it? No. Do we earn it? Do we pay for it? Do we somehow connive for it? No. God gives grace. He giveth grace unto the humble, and He resisteth the proud, the Bible says. But His grace sustains us and will sustain us and will keep us. And I cannot predict the future. I don't have a crystal ball up here, or I can't look at your palm and tell what's going to take place in your life, but I do know this, grace will follow with you. And He said, I'll be with you even unto the end of the world. Do you believe that today? My friend, I want you to know, no matter what may come down the road, no matter what might happen, even in this nation and in this world, God's grace will be sufficient. If it's sufficient to save our souls, it's sufficient to carry us through. Then He will carry us through. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Mercy is an act of God. It's not an act of man. Man does not have the capability of mercy or even of grace. If he tries to today, there's usually some sort of ulterior motive behind what he does. But God's mercy is just like grace. It is free today. Mercy, we can say, is like this. It does not happen to us what we deserve. I've heard people, whenever they watch, I don't think he's on the air anymore, Judge Wapner. Everybody took their problems to Judge Wapner. I want justice. I always thought whenever that I watched that, I thought, no, you don't want justice. You don't want the justice overall, the justice of God. Because if we all receive the justice of God, we would be likened unto Sodom and Gomorrah. That was it. God was through. And he brought down a judgment. But my friend, God gives mercy. He withholds today, if you will. He holds back from the punishment and the penalty that we all deserve. That's God today. That is his nature today. The Bible says he's not willing, he's not wanting that any should perish, but that all should come under repentance, that he might show them mercy and that he might show them grace. In Lamentations 3:2, it says that it's of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. Amen, Jeremiah. That is so true today. We would be consumed were it not for the Lord's mercies. We would be, my friend, just taken off the face of the earth. And you know, someone has said, you know, whenever that Adam sinned and it passed upon all mankind, why didn't God just destroy Adam and just start all over again? Because God wanted through Adam and through his seed and down to this period of time to show mercy to each and every one of us. He extends mercy to each and every one of us today. He extends mercy unto the lost, the unsaved, the man that does not believe in God. God wants to show mercy unto him. And we find today, my friend, that the Bible also tells us. In Titus chapter 3, it says, "But after the loving kindness and love of God towards man appear, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but what? According to his mercy, he saved us with the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit today." My friend, he desires to show mercy unto every one of us. And do you know that in mercy that the judgment, that the justice is delayed? And someone will say, well, if God speaks a precept, then how in the world is that fulfilled? Because God does not speak in vain. And he always carries forth that he speaks, such things as, you know, the soul that sinneth shall surely die. That's where that Christ Jesus comes in. Our Lord and Savior. He took our penalty. He became death. He became the very epitome of death and sin in the sight of Almighty God. He took the burden of our sin upon himself. And my friend, he suffered something that you and I will never, ever experience. When he cried out of the midst of darkness there upon Calvary, when he echoed what was upon his heart, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That is the cry of a sinner. That is the cry of a man that is lost. Now, I'm not saying Christ was lost, but at that moment, he became the epitome. He became the very offscouring of your sins and mine. And you and I will never utter from our heart such a cry. Because, as the song says, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Peace. The Bible says in one place in the book of Thessalonians, in that day they shall say, peace, peace, but there is no peace. There's no peace upon the earth. Do you know, ever since mankind was created, and ever since that he walked upon the face of the earth, there was always, and there always has been, and there probably always will be, until the day that Christ comes back and he straightens everybody's gripes and problems in the UN and whatsoever. Do you know where the first war took place? Whenever that Cain smote his brother Abel, from that point on, man has lifted up his hand against his brother man. And I know and I realize today, there are times that for freedom, the very precious thing that God has given us to worship him and to live and abound for his name's sake, I realize there are times when that has to be defended. But the type of peace that he's talking about here is the absolute peace, where that there is no conflict. Peace is not the absence of conflict. Do you know that in the days of Christ, how they kept the peace? Oh, they didn't give people bread and give them circuses and so on and so forth. If somebody was guilty or somebody that they thought was an enemy of the Caesar, they'd crucify that individual. And they did it right out in the open. And it was a message in of Roman peace that if you raise your hand against the state, this is what's going to happen to you. But that's not peace. What is peace today? What is it? You know, that's another word that they don't find, or we don't find anywhere else except in the scriptures, the true peace of God. And the word for peace in the Old and the New Testament and in the Old has a picture with it. Now, I've mentioned this before, but it's where that there is an intertwining of rope together. It winds around together. It's woven together. Do you know that that kind of rope is stronger than a rope that has only one strand? And someone will say, well, preacher, that makes a lot of sense. But I want you to know today, my friend, not only is there God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, but he intertwines us in that so that, my friend, we are protected, we are kept. My friend, we are hugged to the very bosom of God. And that's peace today. Peace is not absence of conflict. Peace is assurance in the midst of conflict. How many times do you read of the Apostle Paul where that he's would be imprisoned, or he would be shipwrecked, or he would be beaten and stoned by a mob, or he would be scourged with a scourge, and yet he had peace. Yet he had peace. It's because he had that peace that passeth all understanding. The Bible tells us over one place, and we preached this several weeks back, be careful for nothing, but in everything, let your requests be made known unto God with thanksgiving. And he said, and this is the cap to it. This is where we get our promise from God. And the very peace that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts through Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the true peace that people are needing today. They're not going to find peace, my friend, in the abundance of wealth. That's fine. But if they stake their soul's existence, if they stake everything upon them, they're going to be sadly disappointed. It comes from peace with God down deep within the heart. That's the true peace of God today. None other whatsoever. It's a supernatural type of peace. There have been times whenever that, and I've not told truly as Paul Harvey said the rest of the story, but times whenever that there have been incidences that could very easily have switched for the worse. But I had peace about it. I felt in my heart, God, you're going to somehow take care of this. And I'm relying completely upon you. Several years ago, back whenever that I first got my driver's license, my dad would allow me to drive the family car down to church, down several country roads on chip and seal, and then finally on gravel. Now he said, slow it down on the gravel, son, because we're not ready to go yet. But he would let me drive. And then this one instance, this one Sunday, And I had my dad sitting in the front seat, my mom, and two other passengers in the back. And we were driving just, you know, Sunday morning, looking forward to going to church. And I saw a pickup truck coming from the other direction. And I thought to myself, oh, I hope that guy doesn't turn in front of me. And what did he do? Just the moment that I got up to the drive he was going to turn into, he turned in front of me. I mean, I locked the brakes, I grabbed the wheel, and we all went off in the ditch hitting that truck. But I want to tell you, with just a moment, just a second, there was a peace that came over me that, Lord, I don't know how this is going to turn out. It may not be pretty, but Lord, I'm depending upon you. You may not want me to live through this. You may not want any of us to live through this, but Lord, I have peace with you. I know whatever that happens, that we'll get through this and somehow we'll get out of it. And if we don't, then hallelujah to God. I'm going to a better place. Oh, I'll tell you what, it's good to have that kind of peace. That no matter what takes place, no matter what happens, no matter what may befall us, that we have that peace, the Bible says, that passeth all understanding. Jesus told his disciples in one place before that he went to the cross, the night that they met together for the last time, he said, my peace, he said, I leave with you. Isn't that great? Because he not only left it with the disciples, he left it with us. Sometimes we read these things and we think, well, that was great for Peter, James, and John. And all of them, God gave them peace. But no, he was talking to all of us collectively. He said, my peace, I leave with you. And then he goes on to say, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. And he said, don't let your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. Now, that's easier said than done, but I want you to know, when God is sitting in the driver's seat beside of you, that's a pretty good driving companion to have. That is very, very good driving companion to have. God is our source of grace. There's no grace anywhere else in this world. My friend, Elon Musk can't give you grace. My friend, he can give you a stock tip, but he can't give you grace. I want you to know that, my friend, the richest of them all, the Walton family, they can give you a stock tip. They may even just give it to you and let you invest in it. And nothing against that whatsoever. I'm not against that. But I want you to know that they cannot give grace. That grace comes only from God. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's a gift of God. My friend, whenever that those wise men came with their gifts, my friend, God was in the works getting ready to give these gifts unto us. And we have these gifts today. Are you making use of your gifts that God has given you? Are you making use of grace, depending upon it, upon the peace that passeth all understanding? Today, the mercy of God. It comes from God. That's why that he says in that salutation, he said, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. No other source can give that. Buddha can't give it. Oops, probably somebody's going to send something. Kind of some hate mail, but I want to tell you something. Buddha never gave grace, peace, mercy. Only one could do it. And the Bible tells us over in 1 Timothy chapter 2, and in the 5th verse, it says, there is one God, not a half a dozen, not several, not different gods that just kind of filter down here and we come through them. There's only one God. Did you know that today? There's only one God. And my friend, the God that led the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, out of bondage, the God that left everything into the hands of Joshua to conquer the land of Canaan, and we could go on down the line. There's only one God. One. And there's only one mediator between God and man. I want to tell you something today. I grew up with friends that felt like, oh, I've got to go to somebody else to get my peace. But today, there's one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. So today, you have received a gift. Actually, you've received three things from God today. Grace, mercy, and peace. And my friend, the world didn't give it to you. And I've got news for you today. The world can't take it away.